All right, folks, welcome back to What Would Father Say? Appreciate y'all tuning in with us yet here again on this lovely Friday afternoon. Thanks again, Father John, for joining us.
My pleasure.
Giving us your words of wisdom. We are still talking about the third commandment as we work through our catechetical discussion here a little bit. If you missed last week's conversation, reminder that we broadcast it on rebroadcast every program on Sunday at 12:30 as well. So if you miss on Fridays, you can always tune back in on Sunday. And what better way to spend your Sunday obligation?
I tell you,
than to listening to What Would Father Say?
Oh my goodness!
So, Father, we were talking again about commandment number three, and I kind of cut you off, and I'm going to apologize about the whole Sunday obligation piece, and I think that's a good place for us to kind of pick it right back up.
Well, it picks up on 2180, but I'd like to look at it at least 2177. It's Sunday celebration of the Lord's Day, and the Eucharist is at the heart of the church's life. I mean, that tells us, if you're going to be Catholic, why wouldn't you be at the heart of the church's life? Mm-hmm. It's like being married and not talking to your wife. That makes no sense.
Exactly.
Sunday is the day in which the Paschal mysteries are celebrated in light of the apostolic tradition, and is to be observed as the foremost holy day of obligation in the universal church. So this brings up the whole issue. What's this obligation stuff? Why do I have to do something? So remember, skip down to 2178 as a book of Hebrews. This practice of the Christian assembly dates from the beginnings of the apostolic age. The letter of the Hebrews reminds the faithful not to neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but to encourage one another. So the Sunday obligation is not just for you. The obligation is to the rest of the body of Christ. You not coming to Mass affects us. It's like any family. Anybody who says, I ain't coming, you're making a statement. I'm not coming to church. I'm not coming to the dinner table. I'm not talking to you. If you ever ask someone, hey, would you come play with us? I'm not praying with you. You know, I remember when I was coaching soccer, we would pray, actually. The kids would lead prayer because I couldn't. But there was one kid, kind of a kid who goes, he wouldn't pray with us. He would always stand off. And we let him. But that did affect us. It did affect us. So 2180, 2181, 2182. I'm going to read 2182. Participation in the communal celebration of the Sunday Eucharist is a testimony of belonging and being faithful to Christ and to His church. We go door to door all the time. We ask people, are you Catholic? I'm Catholic. Okay, where do you go to church? I don't go to church. Well, you say you're one thing and you act like you're practical atheists. And oftentimes, if they don't admit that, they're basically, especially in this country, practical Protestants. I don't need to go every Sunday. I don't know. And get that. I stay at home. I can watch on TV, and I can read my Bible and talk to God. That's the kind of thing Protestants say because they have no ecclesiology. There is no substance to their Sunday sacrifice because there is no sacrifice. It's just a strictly praise and worship in their own way. But you don't need – I can do that in your – yeah, is it a sin to miss on Bright Day Community Church? Oh, you don't feel like going. Is that a sin? Well, if you don't feel like going, you don't have to. What? Who says that? Can you imagine that? You only come if you feel like. Yeah. One of the things that Martin Luther got right, while at the same time he got wrong, in his small catechism, he has a whole section on confession. And I always remind Lutherans that I say that. I've read Luther's large confession or small confession. It has a whole chapter on reconciliation. They don't go to confession anymore. But what he says in there is he actually does it to himself. He goes, you should only go to confession if you want to. You should only go to the sacraments of reconciliation if you bound in joy. What? I go to confession usually dreading it. It's like going to the dentist. You need to get a cleaning done. And it's not comfortable. I come bounding out of confession. Yeah. But again, religion is now unjustly attached to emotion. Well, if I don't want to come, I shouldn't come. No, that's the exact reason why you should come. My tooth is killing me. I don't want to go to the dentist. Your tooth is killing you? That's you what you should. Go. You better go.
Yeah.
So continuing.
please.
21:82. The faithful give witness to this by their communion in the faith, in faith and charity. Together they testify to God's holiness and their hope of salvation. They strengthen one another under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So in other words, when we all come to Mass, we're strengthening one another. And if we don't come all to Mass, we're weakening one another. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than walking into a Sunday liturgy. And we all have known this. Walking to some London Jesus, there's a few scattering of people, and they're all gray-haired.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? It's a sign of a dying church. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, it's an injustice, but a lot of times those gray hairs did not very successfully pass on their faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because for them, going to church was
a check in the box.
Did they have a Catholic home? Mm-hmm. Were they excited about their faith? You know, always say this, and you're wearing all your Longhorn gear.
Yeah.
I'm not a Longhorn or an Aggie, so I can get away with this one. But anybody who's a devout fan of a certain team, they don't compartmentalize that. They drill it into their kids. And they start, I mean, from the word go, they're bleeding maroon or orange or something. I lived up in Chicago. I know Green Bay Packers fans.
Oh, yeah.
Their whole house was decked out in Green Bay Packers and anti-Chicago Bear stuff. I mean, it was. They didn't tell their kid, you know, if you want to be a San Francisco 49er fan, you know, we will support you. No, they're not. Who's kidding who? But the Catholics have obligations to mm-hmm. other Catholics. It's kind of like being an American citizen.
Yeah.
If you refuse to vote, if you refuse to take part in the secular world, you're hurting me. You know, one of the neat things that happened this past election cycle, I don't know if you know this, but the past election cycle, for the first time, maybe in a few hundred years, the Amish came out to vote.
Yeah.
That they usually don't do that.
That's right.
But they were recognizing, wow, government is telling us to do with our money. They're taxing us. They're squeezing our religion, telling us, wait a minute, maybe our Christian faith should feed and inform our politics. Because them not voting hurts us. If every Jehovah's Witness went out and voted their pro-life stance,
mm-hmm.
the world would look different.
Yeah.
If every Catholic, went out and voted their pro-life stance, we would change the world.
If every Catholic was pro-life, that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah, I can talk about that too. And to say you're Catholic and pro-life is like saying I'm Catholic but I don't go to Mass.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It's.
But it makes me think about just a couple of weeks ago, the reading in a Sunday Mass, the reading from Hebrews where it talked about the parts of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of the, I think, where you're going with this. You know, some are teachers, some are ministers, some are this, some are that.
Yeah.
We're not all, you know, a foot is not a foot and a hand is, or a foot is not a hand and a hand is not a foot.
And the hand cannot tell the eye, I don't need you.
Right.
The foot cannot tell the ear, I don't need you. You can't just not do that. And that's not just Hebrew. That's all through the St. Paul's corpus. Especially Corinthians. We are part of the body of Christ, and we all know that we all have bodies, and everything should be fine. But if you got a sore tooth, how often does someone say, if you got a sore tooth, you know, the rest of my body's feeling
I'm great.
I'm fine. No, that's all you could think about. That's all you ever stub your toe going to bed? That'll ruin your evening.
Oh, my gosh.
That'll ruin your, you're like, oh, my, one little, your tiny little toe down there is hurt, and you're writhing on the ground. Someone could say, it's just your little toe. The rest of you is fine. Well, we know that's not the case.
Yeah.
One part of the body of Christ who is weak or sick, and he tells us this too,
mm-hmm.
one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer. If one part of the body of Christ is jubilant, we all wins and is victorious, we all celebrate with them. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that. I was thinking about this too the other day. Why we love to watch the Olympics. You know, I love watching gymnastics, partly because I can't imagine how they can do those things. You know, the girl gymnasts are just beautiful.
Yeah.
Just beautiful. But the men gymnasts, they do things with their bodies. I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
Iron cross
and
the pommel horse. But why are we so excited when they win the gold medal? Well, they're one of us. And when they're on that podium, we win. We win.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Remember in 08 when our swim team beat the French in the 4x100 relay because they were the best in the world?
Yep.
We were yelling at the screen. We're telling you, French, Take that, you frogs. I mean, we weren't in the pool. I can't swim a lap. No, but that's we're Americans, and they won on our behalf, and we are celebrating because we want to. We want to. Well, when people are baptized, we should be. That's why when people get married, I think that's, you know, the rite of marriage says this should be done in the context of a Sunday Mass. Mm. Who does that?
Yeah.
Who? Not in this country, they don't.
No.
But it's like confirmation. Mm-hmm. First Eucharist, it's all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Ordination supposed to be at your home parish if you can, mm-hmm. that the whole community approves, ascends, and celebrates.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that a little shout out to Father Augustine, and one of the things that he does at Holy Family is if we have a baptism, usually they're almost always on Sunday morning between the 8 o'clock Mass and the 10:30 Mass. Mm-hmm. And he tells everybody, there's going to be a baptism here in this little break that we have between Masses.
Come, stay around.
Stick around.
Please, yeah.
I love, they're always fun. They're always stick
around. Now, we can do baptism within a context of Mass, mm-hmm. but that extends our Masses a lot, and to do it full service.
Yeah.
You know, in America, you know, in other countries, they go to Mass in Nigeria. They go to Mass 3 hours long.
Eastern Rite will spend
hours.
Half of the day.
Hours.
We can't give up an hour. But that brings me into another question then. So what responsibility do the laity have to, as it relates to our brothers and sisters, the guy who lives next door to me, who I know is Catholic, has a Catholic bumper sticker on his truck.
Wow.
And
like are you being serious?
No, I'm being
serious. Okay. I'll visit his house.
No. What responsibility do I have to say, hey, brother, I missed you at Mass on Sunday?
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I missed you at Mass on Sunday, because that's always laden with language, like, where were you? But we can invite them, like we invite them mm-hmm. over for dinner. Hey, would you like to come to Mass? You're welcome to come with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it always, what it does is it always throws the ball in their court. I think that's the important part for anything. Okay. Put the ball back. When we go door to door, we never ask, do you have a few minutes? I never ask them. Never ask. We just get to the question quick. Are you Catholic? That's a yes or no question.
Mm-hmm.
We just put the, where is your church? Would you like to? Always put the ball in their court.
That's an interesting way to phrase that.
Yes, because it's not aggressive.
Because mm-hmm.
sometimes we say, no, I'm not Catholic. Never been Catholic. Hey, you know what? Have a nice day. And sometimes, it's interesting we're talking about this. Sometimes when we say, you know what? Have a nice day. And we start to walk away. Sometimes they'll call us back.
Hey, wait.
Hey, I think it's great y'all are doing this. What church are you? And they'll, because they know we're not Jehovah's Witnesses trying to convert mm-hmm. them. Sometimes when William said, well, since COVID, we're just trying to go around and find people. Our Catholic invite them at the Mass. But listen, you have a nice day. And they'll go, well, I think that's great that y'all are doing this. And I thank you so much. Whoa. Changed the whole conversation. But like your neighbor who's Catholic, if we first you develop a relationship with mm-hmm. them, you develop a relationship with them. And then, and that's what it means to, it starts with relationships. You know, whenever you, because that's what most people, like even with Catholic schools, if I can say a little bit about Catholic schools,
okay.
I've been a part of Catholic education. I went to Catholic schools.
Mm-hmm.
I taught in Catholic schools. I was the head of a Catholic school, so I know a little bit about this. But even when it comes to like our youth ministry here, kids come 99 times out of 10 because a friend asked them. Because they already had a friend. Because like last night we had a real neat night last night. Well, I can tell you about it later, but some people weren't Catholic. Who'd you come here with? They didn't say, well, we saw it in the bulletin and we decided to come. No, so-and-so brought me. You know, they're friends. Well, they know somebody. Huh. It all starts with relationships. If you can build relationships, especially if they're, okay, we're Catholic. What do you think of? And then you can talk about Catholic things. Did you hear what the Pope said? You know, with the Pope we have now, you can say that almost every day.
Yeah.
You see what the Vatican came out with and hear their thoughts, see where they're at. You know, it's funny, too, because a few, I don't know who's going to hear this, but I won't mention his name. I had lunch with a guy. So I have a radio show in Cameron with some other people,
mm-hmm.
and a guy, I met a guy, and he goes, we were introducing ourselves, and he goes, I'm so-and-so. I'm a recovering Catholic. I said, oh. So we started talking a little bit, and I said, well, here's my card. And then finally I realized I had my schedule with me, and I go, hey, man, would you like to have lunch? And he said, yes.
Oh, wow.
So I think a lot of Catholics will believe, you know, we have former Catholics. They started reading the Bible and started going to the other church. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the most anti-Catholic you can meet is an ex-Catholic. But then when you hear their story, you find out it's not very theological. Mm-hmm. It's always personal. Mom and dad were Catholic, but they got a divorce.
Yeah.
Dad, mom married a non-Catholic, stopped going to church. Made me go to church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then when I got
forced
married,
me to, yeah.
And then I got married in the church, got divorced. And she annulled it. And then he got married again. And you feel the hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about John chapter 6 or mm-hmm, John chapter mm-hmm. 20 or, oh.
Marian theology.
Did somebody.
Marianology, excuse me.
Yeah, Marian. And it's like, so what keeps you from the sacraments?
Yeah.
I'm sorry that's – and usually a lot of times it starts off with, you know what a priest once said to me?
That may be a conversation for another show.
Yeah, that is. But the obligation – and if I can go back to something else too.
Yeah.
I have a support group of priests, and we have quad discipleship groups here. But when somebody comes to, let's say, the quad or my support group hasn't done their homework or just doesn't show up. You know, that hurts us too because they bring something else to the page, you know, or something they bring there. Mm-hmm. And so they're hurting us by, oh, you guys are coming. You don't need me. Well, in a sense, we don't need you, you know,
mm-hmm.
but just like my car can run on three tires.
Mm-hmm.
But you have an obligation to us to build us up, to disciple us, to pray with us. And, you know, as it says, they strengthen one another.
Yeah.
We are weakened as a church
yeah.
when we, you know, there's five precepts of the church. And they're pretty easy. Go to church on Sundays and holy days of obligation. And why do we have to go to church on holy days of obligation? Because mama said so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mama's going to tell, you know, mother church, just like your mother. You know, why do you have to make your bed? Well, because mom and dad said, do they have authority?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. And if you're going to call yourself part of this family,
yeah.
you're going to do this, or you can leave.
Yeah.
But don't have it both ways. Because mama said so. We meet at 1 hour a week for crying out loud.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to work. You have to work. You've been working all week.
I've been working all week, so now I got to get my yard done. And I got to. Yeah.
And anyway. We run into this. You know, I like the image. I use this image sometimes with during Lent. You know, when our secular life runs into our Catholic life,
mm-hmm.
who gets out of the way?
Mm-hmm.
Who gives way? So this unfortunately happened in New York, not here. St. Patrick's Day is sometimes during Lent. And I remember some bishop, excuse me, back east, he said, you know, and one day St. Patty's Day landed on a Friday in Lent.
I know where this is
going.
Oh,
and he said, you know what? He went ahead and gave everybody a pass to eat corned beef, which I think is disgusting.
No.
Well, it's very much a part of, you know, their culture. Suddenly, culture overtakes religion.
I love my corned beef, but...
You do? I think it's disgusting. Oh, that cabbage, that...
My last name's McNew. Of course I do.
Ireland is not known for food, man. Who goes and said, you want to have Italian, Mexican, or Irish? Nobody says that.
True statement.
But a lot of our kids, again, that's why a lot of these churches who have caved,
yeah.
You come if you can. If you can't come, that's okay. I want to give an award to a teenager, tells his select coach, I ain't going to that tournament. I have a confirmation retreat. Or especially that's when we get into fights with parents. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, we have a confirmation. I ask you to meet these, you know. And sadly, it's especially the kids who happen to go to Catholic school
because
mm-hmm. they'll think, well, we spend money. We send our kids to a Catholic school. Well, that's not sacramental prep.
Mm-hmm.
That's Catholic education. And your kids should be more involved in their parish, not less. Don't get me started. But we have a confirmation retreat. Oh, but they have a, you know, powerlifting tournament. And you're like, are we really going to have this conversation?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can go to that. You want? There's a gym down the road. No. Or if a track meet that you don't have a track. Well, tell your coach you have something else to do. And the coaches will make them feel guilty about it. The coaches. And here's the really killer part. Sometimes the coaches are Catholic.
Yeah. And the the Catholic coaches will sometimes say, hey, if you can't come on Sunday, you just can't be part of this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And sometimes even our Catholic schools cave into that. Mm. And then we tell the parent, you know, we want to get your kid to heaven. And we have to start saying that more. And I, even as a person who was started head of a Catholic school, I used to tell kids, and this started maybe a few years ago, but I am not afraid to say it now. I couldn't care less if kids went to college anymore.
Yeah,
I couldn't care less. That's not my job. My job is to get them to heaven. Yeah. And you will sacrifice 4, 5, 6 years of your life, get $500,000 in debt so that he has a degree in, I don't even know
17th
what.
17th century French literature.
Oh, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, academia used to pursue truth. Now it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It is a place where our kids lose their Christian faith. Yeah. But we get off. Yeah. We get off the work.
So I want to go back to, and you kind of started talking about the holy days of obligation.
Yes.
And I find it frustrating, and this is not because I'm holier than thou.
I understand.
But I find it frustrating when we get an announcement from someone who says, oh, today is supposed to be, or next Sunday is, or next
Ascension
Monday.
Thursday.
Monday is supposed to be, Ascension Thursday. Perfect
Ascension
example.
Thursday. Oh, it's moved to Sunday.
Move it to Sunday. And it's like, we can't carve 2 hours out of our entire 7-day week to go to.
Yeah, it's a good question. And some states don't. Some dioceses don't. Mm-hmm. Some dioceses don't. But it's always that tension that the bishops deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Do we make Mass easier for them to get to, or do we challenge them more? Because the only day really in the West that's a holy day of obligation, even if it lands on Saturday or Monday, is Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. It is not easy. It is when it lands on Monday or Saturday, it is exhausting. But it's a good challenge. Listen, you work that out. This is where being a Catholic is difficult. So the question is, I learned this, you know, this is a nice precept that we can follow. Just because something is hard doesn't make it bad. And things are worthwhile are going to challenge you. Do you want a church that challenges you to move up higher? Or do you want a church that comes down to your level, leaves you there, and says whatever? You know, that's why I think when it comes to military chaplains, I think oftentimes people consider the Marines the most, when we have a battle, the Marines sometimes go in first. But the Marines have plenty of chaplains. It's the Air Force and the Army that I think, because it's tough to be a Marine chaplain. You know who taught us this too? Religious congregations, especially female religious congregations, learned this in the 70s and 80s. They may have had dozens and dozens and dozens of vocations back in the day, in the 60s. But I know many congregations thought, and a nun told me this once, a sister told me this once in San Antonio. You know, we thought in the 80s and 70s we'd get all these vocations because we took off our habits. We took off our habits. We let in the old days they just taught or worked in nursing homes or something like that. That's it. Well, we let the sisters do what they want, and we moved out of the convent into little houses. And she goes, we were sure we'd get all kinds of vocations, and the exact opposite happened.
Yeah.
The exact opposite happened. Do you want a faith that's rigorous, that's uncomfortable? I always tell my people, I'm not here to make your life convenient.
Yeah.
I'm not here. That's what an obligation is. I'm not here to make your life convenient. If you want convenience, there are churches out there that you can be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
You can be married and divorced a dozen times. You don't have to go to confession.
I think
you don't even have to believe in half of their doctrine.
A lot of people that I know that have left the Catholic Church, it's they left it because it's hard.
Yeah, and then what happens is they go to these other churches.
It's easier to be at the first street, whatever church of
something. And that's the last step to nothing.
Yeah.
That is the last step to nothing. Because it used to be Catholic to Protestant, mainline Protestantism. Well, they're dying.
Mm-hmm.
A slow, awful death. Mm-hmm. I know the ones, all you have to do is go to ones even around here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to these mega churches for a while, and then they go to nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like someone said, well, what tradition were you raised in? We were raised in non-denominational. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. You were raised in a not something. What does that mean? Yeah. Anyway, we get away. Yeah. But
we got just a couple minutes here, so I want to kind of close the book, as it were, on our third commandment. So any kind of final thoughts here as we
talk about? Well, let's just go right off
the
last here, 2086. Those Christians who have leisure should be mindful of their brethren who have the same needs and same rights yet cannot rest from work because of poverty or misery. Sunday is traditionally consecrated by Christian piety to good works, humble service of the sick, the infirm, and the elderly. You know, that's the day we're supposed to be visiting people at the nursing homes. Yeah. Christians will also sanctify Sunday by devoting time and care to their families and relatives, often difficult to do on other days of the week. Sunday is a time for reflection, silence, cultivation of the mind, and meditation, which furthers the growth of the Christian interior life. So
there
you
go.
I mean,
what other way to say it?
Once you stop, it's like dinner table. Once you stop eating together, the family bonds will fade.
Right.
Once you at least stop doing the least, come to Mass on Sundays, Holy Day of Obligation, pray for the living and the dead, observe the laws, of the precepts of the church. That's what it takes to get a D-.
Exactly.
But if you shoot for, and when I was in school, whenever we gave like a threshold to pass, they'd come under it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we raised it, they would come up right with it. Or they would say, I never forget this, we would have what I give like a project. And we would have, this is what it takes to make an A, this is what it takes to be. And they said, what does it take to make a D-? We want to know what it takes to make barely, and I would show them, to make a D, you must do at least this. The kids who shot for a D got an F.
Yeah.
The kids who shot for an A got a B. They should have a B because you're not going to be perfect.
Right.
But we have watered down
everything.
But it's amazing because the rest of the world has become more rigorous, demands much more of you, your time, talent, and treasure.
Folks,
yeah,
we got to end it here. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Father, for
pleasure.
Passing on that wisdom to us. Go to church on Sunday and
make your home a domestic church.
There you go. Make your home a domestic church. What better way to say that? Father, would you leave us quickly with a blessing?
May the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.